Hello and welcome. You're listening to a podcast by Pastor Fred Thompson at Mount Gilead Baptist Church.
Would you say that Americans as a whole are really big on success, enjoyment, and happiness in their life? I'd say yes. Now, it doesn't take long to realize that if you just simply turn on the television and watch TV, and all the commercials and ads are always telling you how toothpaste, what you eat, where you go, all these things will bring you either success, happiness, enjoyment, and that kind of thing in life. Now, I want to say that to some extent, I'm afraid that that may have sometimes infiltrated the church. Now, we have too frequently, and talking with people who don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, have said to them, what you need to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then everything's going to be okay. Have you ever heard that? You may have even been told that. Well, that brings up one of today's life's questions. If that is true, then why is my life filled with ups and downs? Or it could have been, why is my life filled with bad times and good times? You know, that's a big question. Why is it that when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, why is it if we're involved in church and we're doing everything we think of to try to please God, why is it our lives are still filled with bad times? Now, if it was filled with good times, we wouldn't argue with that very much, would we? Now, you know that before we moved here, we lived in Florida, the Sunshine State. Which means what? The sun shines there a lot. But you know what happens if it doesn't rain every now and then? Florida becomes like Arizona, a desert. You have to have rain sometimes, no matter where you're at, or you just don't get any growth. As a matter of fact, right now, we could use some here. I know some of you are already trying to plant gardens and things. And I've heard just the other day someone say, hey, I planted my garden and I don't want to have to keep watering it. It's getting pretty expensive. I wish it would rain. Why is life filled with ups and downs? Take your Bible today and turn with me to Ecclesiastes, I'm getting my tongue tied up here, chapter 3, and we're going to look at probably the most famous section of Scripture from Ecclesiastes. On the very first message we did on Ecclesiastes, I shared with you that these verses of Scripture, the first ones we're going to look at, are the words from one of the famous songs done by a rock group called The Birds. As a matter of fact, by the time we get finished with this, if you grew up and heard that song, you're probably going to be playing it in the back of your mind through all this. I'm not going to sing it for you this morning, just so you'll know that up front. It's one of the, probably again, one of the most famous sections of Scripture. And I'm going to tell you that when I started doing this message, I thought, this one won't be too difficult. You know, to try to put together a message. But the more I studied it, and the more I looked at the commentaries, and the more I tried to look at it, this became one of the most difficult messages I've ever tried to put together. Now, there's probably a couple of reasons for that. One of the reasons is the fact that, honestly, I'm like everybody else. I really would not like to have any downs in my life. And yet, what these verses of Scripture say to us is this. Hey, you can have some good times, but guess what's going to come right behind it? Positive thing is, it also tells us, hey, you may be having a bad time right now, but guess what's coming? Now, that's the good side of the message today. The other thing is that when Solomon wrote this, even the people who translate this into English from the Hebrew in which it was written originally have a little difficulty because it is so couched in the cultural setting of the day that some of the things that are said don't really make total sense to us. So I'm going to try to do the best I can this morning to make it make sense to us today. So when we look at it, we say, oh yes, I get that. I understand that. Well, before we look at those verses of Scripture, let me just share with you some what I'm going to call foundational truths. These are things you know. It's just common sense type things. Number one, the passing of time is inevitable. The passing of time is inevitable. I don't care how hard you try to stop time, you won't. The only time will stop for you is when you die. And still, even after you die, it only stops for you. It continues for the rest of us. It was sort of interesting when I started thinking about this time thing of how conscious as Americans we are of time. When I worked in engineering, I had to travel sometimes. And you know what I discovered? Is that once you climb on an airplane and you leave the continental United States to some other country, they do not keep time the same way we do. They do not get in a hurry anyplace else except here. And if you go someplace else and you think we're going to hurry up and do something, you're going to be extremely frustrated. The first time I ever traveled, I had to go to the Philippines. I thought I was going to die before I got there. The second time I traveled, I was on my way to Italy, and I was traveling with another engineer who had never been out of the country. He was going crazy. I finally looked over at him and said, "Hey, relax. They just don't keep time the same way we do." Hey, if you don't believe that we are obsessed with time, look at this little pie chart that's up here. This comes from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And they actually do studies to find out how people use their time. This pie chart says if you are a person aged 25 to 54 with children, this is how your average day goes. You will spend 8.6 hours working and related activities. You will sleep 7.6 hours. I don't know how they got that with people with children. You will spend 2.6 hours leisure and sports. You'll spend 1.1 hours in household activities. You'll spend 1.1 hours eating and drinking, 1.2 hours caring for others, and then 1.8 hours just doing other, miscellaneous. Can you believe that there's actually a study that tries to figure out the average way you spend your day? Well, it's just we're obsessed with time. And in America especially, we want time to pass quickly. It hasn't always been that way, but at least now, once time got standardized, everybody wants to do that. Second truth is this: change is unavoidable. You cannot stop change. It's even built into you physically. From the day you are born until the day you die, your body is constantly going through change. I'll make another comment about that in a little bit, but our bodies are always in the process of changing. You can't stop it. Our world is always changing. You can't stop it. There are just things that are going to happen. Another foundational truth is this: our world is tainted by sin and not perfect. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, that left the Garden of Eden behind. And so we do not live in the Garden of Eden any longer. So not everything that happens is going to be good. Not everything that happens is going to be perfect. Good things happen and bad things happen. Why? Because we live in a world tainted by sin and not perfect. Now, if time and the seasons frustrate you, let me help you know this. Time and seasons are God's idea. In nature, we can learn about times and seasons. You know as well as I do that there's a spring followed by a summer, followed by a fall, followed by a winter, which followed by spring again. It's a cycle. Unless you live in Florida. And in Florida, there's summer and there's fall. There's two seasons in the year down there. There seems to be not any others. In fact, even here this year, I hate to say this, but it didn't seem like there was much of spring. Although we're supposed to get some cool weather this next week, it seemed like it jumped from cold weather to extremely hot summer weather. But God said this. God called the day when he created everything, he said this: God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. It was God's idea to create time, night and day. A little bit later it says, "And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." God's idea that they be there. I believe that a lot of the things that God created, if not everything, are to be lessons to you and I about our lives and about how God wants us to live our lives. In other words, God gave us seasons that we can see: spring, summer, winter, fall. Guess what we have in our lives? Spring, summer, winter, fall. In fact, it's even described that way. You're born, you're in the springtime of your life. As you're a child and youth, you're in the summertime of your life. As you reach middle age, you're in the fall of your life. And then when you become a senior adult, they call it the winter of your life. They're there to help us know that there are seasons in our life. Another truth is this: history and our purpose in it is in the hands of a sovereign God. Now, if you've been coming to our Wednesday night study on what in the world is happening, what's going on in the world about end time events, you're familiar with this verse of Scripture. From Isaiah 46, it says this: I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. Who establishes the beginning and who establishes the end? God. So history and how God plans for us to have our purpose played out in it are God's idea. He is a sovereign God. It says, and from the ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and what? I will accomplish all my purpose. Underline that. God says that, hey, no matter what goes on in history, I will accomplish my purpose because I'm a sovereign God. Everything that the Bible promises us, you can be sure is going to come true, because God's going to fulfill His purpose. Well, let's take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and just look and see what it has to say to us today about the ups and downs in life. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says this: for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Now, this is just, bottom line is that very first verse sets the pattern for us. It says everything that happens in our life is there for a reason. It's there for a reason and it's there for a season. And God's going to use it in some way. Then what He does in the next few verses through verse 8 is list a series of polar opposites. In other words, He's going to say one thing and then He's going to give you the 180 degree different other description of what's going on. To just talk to you and share with you, there are different seasons and times in everyone's life. He starts out and says, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Now, I'm just going to go back through those, and I know your translations may have some different words than the ones I put in here, and part of that reason is because, again, they were trying to find what word would fit what Solomon is trying to describe, because he describes some things that are related to the culture of the day that they would have understood, but today we would have difficulty with it. The very first thing that he says is this: there's a time for birth and a time for death. You know what? You don't choose either one of those, do you? Any of you in here choose the day you were born? If you did, I need to talk to you after this. We didn't. We didn't choose the day that we were born, and we won't choose the day that we die. But listen, those set the beginning and the end of life that we're going to have on this earth. A real humorous story about a woman who woke up in the middle of the night. She was expecting, and she punched her husband and said, honey, the labor pains are close together. And he said, okay. And he jumps up and he said, let's pray. And he got down on her knees and she said, honey, there's a time to pray and there's a time to go. That's the way it is in life. There is a time to be born and there is a time to die. And what we are to do is this: we're not to sit back and just say, this is life, so what? No, we're supposed to be active in life, serving what God wants us to do and trying to seek what God wants us to do, but realizing there's a beginning and there's an end, and we don't choose when that season comes or that time. The second thing he talks about is this: a time for planting and a time for reaping. I shared with you that I've talked with some people that have already planted their garden for the summer. I realize that there are some crops that you may be supposed to plant in wintertime, but for the most part, what happens to crops if you try to plant them in the winter? They die. Why? Because it's not the season for planting. And what he's trying to say here is that there are times in which you begin things and start things, you plant things, and then there's times you see those things come to fruition and you reap from that. And that happens in every life. We really would love to be able to govern our own seasons. But you know what? We can't. You can't just say, well, you know what? I'm not going to pay any attention to the fact that it's winter. I'm going to go ahead and plant something. It's not going to grow. No, the seasons and everything are governed by God. A third thing is this. He says, a time to kill and a time to heal. Now, this one was a little bit difficult because it's not real clear what he's talking about. Now, Solomon's not making any ethical statements here. He's not saying, okay, there's a time when you should go out and kill people. That's not what he's saying. He's just saying that there's a time when there's killing and there's a time when there's not killing. There's a time to heal. There's a lot of different things that people try to describe to figure out what Solomon's trying to say here. Like, here was one of the illustrations is this, and I said I'd mention this a little bit later, is about the human body, how we go through changes from the time we're born till the time we die. Did you know that every 7 years, according to the medical world, you become a new person? Except for your brain cells. According to medical science, roughly every 7 years, every cell in your body has died and been replaced, with exception of your brain cells. Isn't that something? So, I've been here 3.5 years. I'm only half the person I was when I came here, you know? Changing every day. Another picture of this is the fact that, and of course the thing is that after 7 years, when it replaces the new cells, that's a healing. And every cell is programmed to remember what the last cell knew before it left. God's creation is incredible to me. It's just how all that works together. Here's another idea that they tried to sort of picture. I grew up in the country. Now, when you grow up in the country, we had our own cows. Now, some of y'all may chuckle with this. Every steak and every hamburger we ate had a name. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, some of you do. What was that meant? That meant that we would take a bull, usually, and we would raise it. We named it. We fed it. We pet it. And then one day, it was time to kill it. Now, I know that sounds harsh, especially if you're used to going to the grocery store and buying your meat. You don't have to put up with that. But you know what? There was a time to raise it. Then there was a time to kill it. Then there was a time for it to become what we needed to live, to heal, to give us the strength we needed. That's one picture. And some others thought, well, maybe when he's talking about the time to kill, since he used the time to heal, that maybe what he's talking about is like what the Scripture talks about, that when people are sick, the Bible in the New Testament talks about there's a sickness unto death, and that there's a sickness unto the glory of God. That the kill there is that there are times when you are sick that you will die. But there's going to be times when you're sick and you'll be healed. Do you understand that the impression and the season that he's talking about there is that there is a time for things to happen that are good, and then there's a time for those things to come to an end, but when they come to an end, they may be actually producing what needs to come next, a healing time. The next thing is this. He says there's a time for tearing down and a time for building up. This just simply means the fact that there are times when you build things. I've just recently, if you drive through Zebulun at any time, you know that right there behind the Flash food store was an old house. Now, to me, that's one of the prettiest houses in Zebulun. That house is not there anymore. Why? There was a time for that house to be built. There was a time for it to be remodeled. There was a time for it to be used for that one purpose. But that purpose is not there any longer, so it was a time to tear it down. You know what? Everything in life is that way. Church life, work life, even family life. There are things sometimes that we put in place that are there for a purpose and a season, and you try to keep those things going even after that purpose and season is gone, and it just doesn't work. Why? Because there's a time to build up and there's a time to tear down. And when you tear it down, you go to something else that you build up and replace it with. Things are always changing. Then he says there's a time to cry and a time to laugh. I know some of you have done this because you've told me. You ever get tickled in church? You get the silly giggles? You know, it doesn't happen since I've been a pastor or minister. It hasn't happened up here yet. But as a kid sitting in the worship center, a lot of times something would happen and I would get tickled, and it would be everything I could do not to laugh. And I knew that was not a time to laugh. If I did, it would be a time to cry shortly after that, when my mom came and said something to me, or my dad. You know, I just knew there's a time to laugh and there's a time to cry. And it was not in the middle of church. A time for mourning and a time for celebration. You know, we're just in a fallen world. And because we're in a fallen world, there are people in our lives that eventually pass away. And we mourn that. And that's the way it ought to be. There's a sadness that comes our way. But you know, there also comes a time sometimes after that there will come a period in your time when, and it's time, and there's no specific time, so I'm not telling you that it's a year or 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, but there comes a time when the memories begin to replace the sadness, and there becomes a time of celebration as you remember the good things of life. And those things begin to minister to your heart, a time of mourning and a time of celebration, a time to throw out the stones and a time to gather them. Now, that one's a hard one, a time to throw out the stones and a time to gather them. The number one thing that they seem to point towards this is something that you and I don't do a lot of today, is that if you've ever been to Israel, there's a lot of rocky ground around there. And in that rocky ground, anytime they wanted to plant anything, you know what they had to do? They had to gather up the stones. And they would take those stones and they would pile them at the edge of the field that they were getting ready to plant. Then eventually what they would do is they would come and get those same stones that they had thrown out, and they would pick them up and build walls out of them. And that's the picture. There's a time to throw out the stones, but then there's a time to gather them up and build walls with them. There's a purpose for it. There's a time to embrace and a time to avoid embracing. You know, there are times in our life when it's necessary to show support. You come up and you embrace people and you support them. But there's times when if you're trying to support people, it may actually appear to be inappropriate. I've already had to chuckle because I've had two people today who've come up to give me a hug. And both of them, after they've hugged me, said, "Got that one hand behind your back, don't you?" Remember when I came here, I told you that I hug with one arm. Why? Because it looks inappropriate sometimes to fully embrace. And so there's a time when you can fully embrace, and then there's times when you only partially embrace or even avoid it. There's just that time in life when it's not appropriate. There's a time to gain and a time to lose. Now, some translations say that there's a time to search and a time to give up. And I put in mind that there's a time to gain and a time to lose. Is that talking about weight loss? See, this could be good news for you people who are on a diet trying to lose weight. Just understand, there's a time to gain and there's a time to lose. You know, what it's saying, the search is, if it's search and give up, the idea is that there are times when you are searching for a new job or you're searching for new things in your life, but then there comes a time when you need to lose those and you need to move on. Maybe to a new job or a new location or a new house. Sometimes you gain, sometimes you lose. There's a time to keep and a time to throw out. I don't know if I'll see any wives and husbands nudging themselves on that one or not. Because, you know, you have one of two personalities sitting here today. You either have a person who wants to collect, or you have a person who says, "Let's clean this thing out and get rid of it." And usually you're married to each other. You nudge each other. Our garages are examples of this. You know, there are some times that we should hang on to things. But there are other times we just need to take time and throw it away and get rid of it. A time to tear and a time to sow. Now, this is hard because we don't always have this in our culture. But if you remember the story of Job, and the story of Job, when he began to face all of his difficulties, his friends came and sat down with him, and they did what? They tore their garments. It was a picture of mourning and joining in with Job and sympathizing with him and empathizing with him. So they tore their garments as they did that. Well, there are times that you do that, but then there's times when you mend what you've torn. And that's sort of the picture that's trying to be pictured there. a time for silence and a time for talk. Again, I don't want to see any husbands and wives nudging each other. You know what that means is simply this. There are times when you carry on conversations and you talk with people, and there's times when you don't. Here's one of the best examples I can think of, a single word, gossip. You know, there are times when we just need to keep our mouths shut. We don't need to share things. We just need to not say anything at all. Gossip. A time for love and a time for hate. That one's a hard one because we think, when is there ever a time to hate? One of the illustrations I ran across was this, that Abraham Lincoln in his early life happened to be traveling one day and he happened to come upon a slave auction. It so angered him and he so hated what he saw that that's what led him to emancipate the slavery during his life as the president. You see, there are a time when there are things that we see, we need to hate those things so much we want to act out of those things because we love the people that it's affecting. There's a time to love, there's a time to hate. I shared with you that Atlanta is one of the major cities for pornography, especially involving children. We need to hate that kind of thing. And we need to hate it because we love the children and we want them to be safe. A time for war and a time for peace. He's not necessarily saying that all wars are justified. But there are times when evil cannot be contained without war. I think World War II is one of those examples. I see a lot of times on the History Channel and some other places they have a lot of things about the rise of Nazism in Germany and how Hitler came to power. And it's one of the reasons he became so powerful is, you know what? People didn't resist him until it was too late. And by the time they decided that he was really so evil and they needed to resist him, the world was embroiled in a war. There's a time for war, and then there's a time for peace. Here's the summary. Everyone goes through good times and bad times. If you're here today, I can promise you there are good times and bad times in your life. Now, we can't always choose our time and season, but we must remember that no season or no time lasts forever. All times and all seasons are limited. Now, if you think through that list that we just went through, and you were able to go through and pick it out, I promise this is the kind of list you'd have. I'll choose peace. I'll choose love. I'll choose, well, it depends on whether you like to talk or whether you like silence, whether you choose those two. I'll pick the time to sow. I'll pick the time to keep. I'll pick the time to gain. You know, we'd go through that list and we'd only pick out the good things in life. But you and I can't, for the most part, choose what season we're in. And we for sure cannot choose how long we'll be in that season. It's going to be that way. Now, what he's trying to say is this. Don't focus on the moment of when you're in the season. You focus on the duration of the season to get through it. Because guess what? Things will change eventually. In the next couple of verses, verses 9 and 10, it says this. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. Now, he doesn't totally describe what he's talking about the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. But when I read that, I sort of, for in a moment, go back to the Garden of Eden. If you remember, after Adam and Eve sinned and God placed the curse on everything, that one of the things he told the man was this. You're going to try to grow, but guess what? Weeds are going to grow in its place. And you're going to have to labor. You're going to have to work hard. And I think that may be one of the things that he's sort of looking at here. Our work is a reminder from God that we don't govern our time. We have to labor and we have to struggle sometimes. And it's just reminding us that we don't govern our time. In fact, I was thinking about this point, when we were singing that little song this morning, I need you more than yesterday. You know what? That's what our work does and our labor and our toil sometimes. It helps us realize, God, I need you more today than I needed you yesterday. It keeps us focused on Him. Then in verse 11, he goes on to say, He has also made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Everything happens at the appropriate time. That word beautiful there doesn't necessarily mean beautiful like you and I think of it as something being attractive or something to that we would enjoy looking at. It's the idea that it's appropriate. He has made everything appropriate. What is the bottom line is this: everything that God brings into our life comes at an appropriate time because it's according to God's timing. He brings it in and he uses it. One of the things that I thought about as I was looking at this is that Herbert Lockyer, and I don't remember the name of his book. Herbert Lockyer was a guy who's written many commentaries and a lot of different books. He's deceased now with the Lord. But one of his books was The Dark Threads We Weave. It's a little thin book. And the little thin book talked about how if you took a weaving and you looked at the back side of it, you'd see a bunch of frayed, dark, black threads. And it would look ugly. But when you walk around on the other side of the weaving and look at it, it's got a beautiful design. When you and I are in our life, we're looking at the back side of the weaving. But from God's perspective, he's looking at the front side. So that everything that comes into our life is coming into our life at the appropriate time because God is weaving even the dark threads into the pattern of our life so that on the outside where he's looking at it, he sees beauty. Everything is beautiful. Everything is appropriate in its time. You know what? God is never early and God is never late. I used to hear people say, God is never late and he's seldom early. I'm going to tell you something. He's not ever early. God always comes at the appropriate time in our life. Even birth and death. Birth and death come at the appropriate time. Do you know, sometimes even death can be beautiful. If someone has been suffering through a chronic illness and they've suffered for a long time and you know they know the Lord, when they go to be with the Lord, don't you to some degree go, now their pain and sorrow is gone. Now we mourn and we cry, but there's something in our hearts that know, because we know there's an eternity. God has set eternity in our heart. We know that in eternity that for them that this pain and suffering has come to an end. And in that sense, it's beautiful. It's appropriate timing. And then verses 12 through 13 say this: I perceive that there is nothing better than for them than to be joyful and do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. Basically this: everything that comes into our life is a gift from God and we should enjoy life. God wants us to enjoy life even when we're facing the tough times in our life. That's hard to do. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that when you're facing hard times in your life, that it's an easy thing to say, hey, life is really good right now. It's not. But God wants us to seek him and look to him. Which brings us to the conclusion. Verses 14 and 15 says this: I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken away from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That fear before him is more of an awe and a reverence, not being afraid and shaking in your boots before him. That which is already has been, that which is to be, already has been, and God seeks what has been driven away. The conclusion: everything is a part of God's timing, and we cannot change it. Everything is a part of God's timing, and we can't change it. This is to humble us and draw us to God. Now, I'm going to tell you what that statement doesn't mean. Because I don't want you to leave here and say, well, I'm just a puppet. Que sera, sera, whatever's going to be is going to be. No. That's not what that means when it says, when I'm saying that everything is part of God's timing and we cannot change it. God has a plan for the ages. God has a purpose. You and I are not ever going to change that purpose and plan for the ages. And this is the amazing thing about God. Somehow, in the middle of the sovereign plan of God for the ages, are you and I. And you and I, he gives choice. We can choose to obey or we can choose to disobey. And when we do, guess what? it does not change God's plan for the ages. He will take whatever happens and He will sovereignly use it to fulfill His plan for the ages. And if you are going along in your life and you're not doing what God wants you to do, and you step out of His way, guess what He starts doing in your life? He starts working in your life to bring you back where He wants you to be. He does it. It's appropriate in His time. He brings those seasons and times. I've said, made this statement before. God gives you the choice in making decisions. He does not give you the choice of the consequence that comes your way. Now, you want to influence your decisions so that they're positive and they're good, then you make wise decisions that seek to please God and do what God wants you to do, and the consequences will more than likely be consequences in which are pointing you, and they're good consequences. But even then, you can't choose it. You can't choose what your consequence is going to be. You can influence it some, but you can't choose. You can't even choose how long the consequence lasts. It may last a short time or it may last a long time. I pray sometimes for consequences to be short. But you can't choose that. God is sovereign. But He does that because He wants to humble us, make us humble before Him, and it should draw us to Him, realizing how much we really need Him. And Paul was writing to the Thessalonians. He said it this way: "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." No matter what's going on in our life, God wants us to come to Him with thankful and grateful hearts. All circumstances. You know what? I wish He'd have said in that verse, be thankful for God to the good things in your life. You can gripe and complain about the bad things. But that's not what He says. That's probably why this sermon is so difficult. He doesn't say that. He says, be thankful in all things. Coming to God with a thankful... That doesn't mean we're thanking Him for what's happening in our life, but I do think it means we're thanking Him for what He's going to do with that in our lives and how He's going to use it in our lives. Another thing about time and seasons is this one. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says this: "For He says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." What He's saying is this: there are times and seasons in everyone's life. And one of those times and seasons is that God comes and there's a time and season when He makes you understand in your heart and in your mind that you need Him as Lord and Savior. Now is the time of salvation. Do you know if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and God is speaking to your heart today and you're saying, you know, I need to do that, guess what? What He's saying is the time and season for you is right now is the time. It's not next week. It's not next month. It's right now. If you are a believer and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you know that you're not really living for Him, and there's that little bitty voice of the Holy Spirit in your life saying, I'm not living the way God wants me to live, guess what He's saying? He's saying, then now is the time for recommitting your life. Now is the time for making Him Lord and Savior of your life. Times and seasons, they come and they go. But you and I can face those up and downs if we keep our minds focused on the fact that God is the one who's in charge, and God is the one who can help us through all of those.
Thank you for tuning in. If you're ever in the Griffin area, we would love to have you come visit us at 10:45 on Sunday mornings. Our location is 14550 Highway 19 South in Griffin, Georgia. I hope you have a wonderful day, and remember, God loves you.